So if you were to think about, you know, your question was specifically how much time, we had an in-product survey and our customers were telling us that they were saving about 43% of the time that they were using these things.
Hello and welcome to a new episode of Cut Talk. My name is Jörg Lansch and in this podcast we talk about computer-aided design, hardware, software, technical trends and so on. We relatively often talk to hard and software suppliers. Today I have a special guest because he started as a user. He showed me a lot of impressive things he designed as a design engineer. After many years in different roles, he finally ended up working for Autodesk, where he is today's senior product manager. So welcome, Clint Braun. Hello, Clint.
Hi, Jörg. Thank you. Very nice introduction.
Yes, you told me that you started design engineering, drawing with a pen, right at the moment when computers and CAD software came up. Tell me a little bit about your history, let's say.
So that's quite interesting. So I studied drafting. I'm a classically trained draftsman. And as I was studying that, it was already obsolete. But I knew that I wanted to work with CAD. And the only way in was to understand how geometry worked. So I had to learn on a drawing board to get a foot in the door to learn how to use CAD.
But you worked as a design engineer designing interesting things. You're not allowed to show. Thanks God we are on a podcast, so you can talk about it. It's only those things you can hear for many, many years, right?
Yes. So I worked for a large plastics company in South Africa, and we developed a lot of different things, a lot of really interesting things for informal markets, coolers for Coca-Cola, a lot of automotive products, fuel systems, packaging, returnable packaging, and things like that. Lots of different things.
So after, let's say, many years as a user, as a heavy user, as I think, you're using CAD software all the time. Then you, let's say, switched side, and first job you had outside design engineering was a software vendor, right?
Yeah, that's right. So I was working for a software vendor, and an opportunity came up to become an applications engineer. And it was really exciting. You know, I'd obviously interacted with application engineers in my engineering role, and I saw that they demonstrated product and they did training and that sort of stuff. And I thought that that was really interesting. And that was how I sort of started in that ecosystem. So I spent about 10 years at a reseller, and I did every technical role you can think of, from tech support to training, helping to build websites, and really interacting with customers at all sorts of different levels. And after that, I moved into distribution. So sort of 13 odd years of doing, just helping people adopt CAD technologies. And a big piece of that across that time was around automation and reducing redundant tasks. You know, everywhere you go and look at a workflow, there's always things that are inefficient. And often when you're in that inefficient workflow, you don't see that you're being inefficient. So big part of my role was to point out the obvious and then help people automate some of that. And that kind of led me to Autodesk.
Okay. If you think about what you learned there and then in going back in time, do you think a lot about the obsolete work you were forced to do when you were designing actual things using CAD software?
That's an interesting question, and it's not really obsolete, because a good understanding of geometry makes you a really good CAD user. And, you know, working in tech support, understanding how things are put together really helped me explain things to customers. And there is no real obsolescence. You know, when we built drawing automation, and I had to sit down with a bunch of people from research and developers, I had to explain how first angle versus third angle projection worked. And I was taken back to a lesson with my technical drawing teacher, Mr. Bennett, in the 1990s, and how he explained it to us. And I remember explaining exactly using his methodology. And he had an example of unfolding a cereal box, and that would give you third angle. And I actually reached out to him afterwards and I said, you know, your lesson from so many years ago was so relevant to me that I was able to explain this concept to some folks very recently. It was a pretty cool moment.
Okay. Then you moved on and started with Autodesk, one of the big players in the market, in the CAD market. Tell us a little bit about your role, how you started there. We started with 2D software, right?
Yeah, so it's probably worth just understanding a bit about what Autodesk does. You know, Autodesk is the design and make company, and they do a lot. There's a lot of products. But if you think about it, they're kind of the behind-the-scenes magic for practically everything. So the headphones that you're wearing right now were probably developed in our software. The building that you're in, maybe the car that you drive or the bus that you caught today, probably used our software. And even that blockbuster movie that you watched this weekend probably used some of the visual effects that we built. So people interact with our software all the time. I work specifically on a product called Fusion. And when I joined, I was brought in to work on 2D drawings. So using some of that experience to help improve 2D drawings. And that was kind of the in over there. Fusion itself is a cloud-based platform. So it does CAD, CAM, CAE, PCB design, collaboration, data management. So you name it, it's there. It's like the Swiss Army knife for design engineers. So, you know, if you need to create a model, collaborate with your team or run a simulation or test how that'll work under pressure or render it or create the 2D drawings, it's all there. Even the 2D, the PCB circuit inside it, Fusion's got all of that covered. So I came in and helped improve 2D drawings.
I was quite surprised. I remember when we talked last week that 2D is still such a thing you still develop. From my understanding, everything is going towards 3D.
Yeah, so if you look at what we do, that's a really, really interesting point. And we have a fun back and forth with our colleagues all the time. So the reality of it is that a lot of things are 3D. So you take the work we do in manufacturing with five-axis machining, that's often all defined in 3D with 3D annotation. But 2D drawings are very much still relevant. They're legal documents. You know, often you will go to a supplier with your drawing, which is the legal document, and that supplier will manufacture to that specification. So it's sort of the lingua franca of manufacturing. And every time someone says to me, 2D drawings are dead, I challenge them. Go down to a tool room or a workshop and go and stand next to a manual lathe, milling machine, or even a bending brake. You'll find a drawing, right? In a previous role, I mentioned some of the work I did in automotive. Every quality system requires drawings. You know, they sit in the file next to that product and they live with them, they go along with them. So in our world, you know, it's part of the bigger projects I worked on with drawings was drawing automation. And it was really about helping designers automate that entire process so that they could focus on things that were more fun. Because let's be honest, 2D drawings can be boring. It's a lot of work. No one wants to sit there and lay out sheets and rotate things around and break the long components and add center marks. You want a tool that'll do all of that for you. And that was part of what we've built specifically on Fusion.
Drawing automation is an important topic. Can you estimate what automation can do for efficiency? Let's say what a design engineer can do with one of the tools you did back 20 years ago. And if they have modern tools with automated features, how much time can they save?
So I did something probably about 10 years ago. I wrote some automation scripts for Autodesk Inventor that could lay out a 2D drawing. And it was very basic. It could create a drawing for you, just lay out the views. It didn't do much more than that. Drawing automation in Fusion does, you know, automatically lays out all your sheets. It creates a sheet for each component. It can rotate awkwardly placed components. That takes a long time for a person to do manually. You know, it'll put on parts lists, balloons, and it'll even go and generate you your dimensioning strategies. And very soon it'll be able to do things like PCB dimensions as well. These sorts of things can take a user a long time. So the idea is that we can do 60 to 80% of the work for you really quickly. And the user can then do the last few bits. So if you were to think about it, you know, your question was specifically how much time. We had an in-product survey and our customers were telling us that they were saving about 43% of the time that they were using these things. You know, recently a customer quoted saying that they save about 20% of the time on their drawings and they think about 50% of the time on their sketches because of some of the tools that we've built for them. So it depends on what you do. You know, if you create relatively simple things, we can automate most of it for you. So that's pretty impressive on that front.
Okay. So let's talk a little bit about software development. It's a lot of automation for the end user. What's about the development process of the software? We're talking a lot about artificial intelligence and bots that can do coding. How will this change in the future?
All right. So there's a few things to unpack there. One is it's all about people, right? At the end of the day, we build tools for people. So you got to talk to customers and understand what they want. No AI is going to magically figure out what people want, put it in the product and make it work. That's not going to happen. So we have to talk to customers and figure out what it is they want, where their pain points are, and work on those. We then got to take those requirements and turn them into something that a developer can build a tool from. Now, how that's developed is changing all the time, and there are new tools that come up. You know, there's a lot of automation testing that has to happen as well, and a lot of that can be automated. There's a lot of things in that realm that does require maybe a different approach to 10 years ago, absolutely. But think about people, and you've probably come to the right answer.
Good. Cloud-based collaborative systems. I just had another conversation when we were talking about the COVID pandemic and things like what we do now, talking via Teams and recording a podcast from a few hundred kilometers away, were not very common, let's say, 5 to 10 years ago. How's in your opinion, from the user side, let's say the AEC industry, how they work? Is it going the same way like we do in the typical warring office environment?
Yeah, so, you know, Autodesk lives in sort of three main industries. So AECO is one of them, manufacturing is where I sit, and then there's media and entertainment. But you see very similar trends. And if you look at the tools that are being built, so if you look at things like Forma, there's a lot of collaboration in the cloud, and it's, you know, people sort of expect to be remote or at least to be hybrid, and they expect their systems to work. You know, when you get to your hotel room or you get home, you turn your laptop on, you expect your CAD tool to work, you expect your data to be there, and you expect to be able to collaborate.
Good. So from your point of view, how will a typical working day of user, and let's say in 5 to 10 years, look like? And what is the difference to your typical working day in the 90s or the beginning of the century?
So, I mean, that's interesting. So we're not chained to a desk anymore. You know, and I have, if I just look at my working day, I can wake up at 6 o'clock in the morning, by 6:30, be on a call with a team somewhere else in the world, then take the kids to school, come back, do some more work, connect with teams from other regions, take a bit of time off, and in the evenings, connect with the state. So it just depends on where you are and who you're dealing with. You know, for some folks, they're still going to be sat at a desk and working 9 to 5 because maybe they sat next to a production office and they need to be there. So it won't change for everyone, but for a lot of people, it certainly has changed.
But I thought more about the typical work of a design engineer. The drawing board you still learned and using CAD software.
And I think the fundamentals are the same. You know, at the end of the day, we can automate a bunch of things, and people can relate to this. Think about typing in the olden days. If you made a mistake, you had to go and get a little bit of white out and clear it back and go over it. All of a sudden, we had computers, and you could type things really fast, and if there was a mistake, you could fix it. But if you're typing now, you've got Grammarly and tools like that come in and fix things for you, and it's a lot like that. So these AI tools are going to do things and help you along the way. I mean, you think about the drawing stuff. We create an automated dimension for a customer every 1.3 seconds. That's mind-blowing. You know, in the time that we've been talking, hundreds of dimensions have been created automatically by AI for our users, right? So that sort of stuff's going to free you up, but it's also going to help you to do some of the other mundane tasks that you might have had. So folks have to send emails and check on things and go to meetings. And, you know, a lot of being an engineer is attending meetings. So hopefully we're freeing them up to do those things as well.
So we're looking for an automation tool for meetings.
Well, that's probably coming.
Yeah, AI assistant who attends a meeting for you. That would be great sometimes, right?
I guess if you're one or two of them in a meeting, it's not so bad. But I don't know what it'll be like when 10 people all send their AI bots, what those look like.
So, interesting. Clint, thanks a lot. Interesting insight into your work and your history from the pencil to automated drawings and It was fun having you.
Awesome. Thanks, Jörg. It was nice chatting to you. Chat soon.
Okay. To our audience, I hope you enjoyed this episode. If not, please let us know what we can do better, what we can improve. The easiest way to do is send me an email to info@cuptalk.de or reach out to me on LinkedIn. And please, if you haven't done already, click the follow or subscribe button in your podcast players or you won't miss the next episode. For today, I say goodbye and hope to talk to you again in a month. Thank you.